Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. Listen for the word of the Lord. Naomi has just told her daughters-in-laws to go back to their families. Naomi's husband has died, and both of her sons have died, and so Orpah and Ruth and Naomi are gathered together, and the mother-in-law, Naomi, is telling her daughters-in-law, I'm going to go back to Bethlehem where I'm from, but you go to your people, go back to your family, go home, where you'll be cared for, where you will find husbands. Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, Naomi, but Ruth clung to Naomi. Naomi said, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me and more as well, if even death parts me from you. When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. This is the word of the Lord.
Say.
We think of the saints of God on a day like today, as we think of Halloween and the traditions around that. And here we find two of God's saints standing together on the pages of the Old Testament. This is almost a Gettysburg Address kind of thing, a memorable speech that Ruth gives to Naomi. We know her words, they're engraved in our hearts somehow, that we can finish her sentences. Help me, where you go, where you lodge, your people shall be my people and your God. Where you die, and I will be buried there, may the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you. And for those who don't believe that the Bible has any humor in it, the next line I think is funny, and also that oceanic pause between this line and the next. Seeing that her mind wouldn't be changed, Naomi said no more. She said no more. She knew when she had been outdone. I asked you in my Friday emailer, what one-word summary would you give to this passage in Ruth, the book of Ruth, or this passage in Ruth? And you used words like loyalty. That describes Ruth. Loyalty, friendship describes Ruth. Love, support, diversity. Ruth was a foreigner after all. She was not a Jew. Naomi was. Faithfulness. These are good word definitions, good word summaries, single word summaries of this passage. The word I would add this week is the word commitment. We see in this passage that Ruth is committed to Naomi, committed to her and loves her. Love, by the way, is perhaps the best way to summarize this passage. Ruth will not let Naomi travel alone from the wilderness of Moab to the small town of Bethlehem. She won't allow her to travel alone. Ruth will be a companion, a friend, an advocate, a partner. And as one reads the story of Ruth, it's a short book. Read it this afternoon. One sees in reading that story that Naomi will also be loyal to Ruth. And they will meet a distant relative named Boaz, who will be committed to the promises of his tribe, as it were, committed to helping these two widows alone in the world. So commitment is one of the words I would use to describe this passage. It is one of the golden threads, one of the many golden threads that weave this story together. Scott Reeder, writing in the News Gazette just last Wednesday, wrote a column about commitment. Do you remember it? It was entitled, Take People as They Come, Not as They Appear. And he tells the story about how his daughter wanted a new dog and how he and his wife said, no, we won't get a new dog. And it tells the familiar story about how when parents and children draw lines in the sand, it's usually the parents who lose. So they get a dog named Johnny. It's a mutt. And Mr. Reeder thinks it's maybe a Labrador retriever and a German shepherd and perhaps a coon hound mixed in. Another relative, his sister-in-law, thought that the dog was part Rhodesian Ridgeback. His wife thought that there might be some pit bull twining through Johnny's family history, but their daughter Caitlin didn't care. She loved Johnny, no matter what Johnny was. Mr. Reeder's a veteran State House reporter in Springfield. He's covered many trials, and he drew a parallel between their dinner table conversations about what this dog is, what is this dog? He drew a parallel between that conversation and the conversation he's had as a journalist about juries. Typically, he writes, reporters covering a trial will describe a jury by its racial and ethnic composition. Since reporters cannot talk to jurors during the trial, it becomes a guessing game. Is she Italian or Hispanic? Is he black or biracial? Is juror number 10 an Indian American, or maybe he's Middle Eastern, end quote. Mr. Reeder writes that we live in a nation where identity is increasingly ambiguous. It's more and more difficult to define us by where we come from and who our people are. There may have been a day here when you could look at somebody in the street and say, he's from Urbana. But now, Urbanites and Champagnians and Rantoulians, they kind of look the same, don't they? I mean, and we love one another, despite the fact there may be distinctions between us. We love one another. It's harder to tell one from another. Mr. Reeder suggests that we shouldn't worry so much about that. We should accept and respect all people, no matter their pedigree. And it is his daughter's love of Johnny that reminded him of this truth. It holds true. It holds true for citizens, for reporters, and for jurors, and for people doing the business of being citizens. It holds true for all of us, just as it holds true for Caitlin and that mutt beneath their feet in the dining room table in their home. It's Johnny. I love him. I love him. It doesn't matter what he is. Now, Mr. Reeder's wife is a veterinarian, and they did a DNA test on Johnny. So as it turns out, Johnny is 17 different breeds. He gets around. He's only 1% Labrador. There is no German Shepherd in his blood, nor is Johnny a Rhodesian Ridgeback or a coonhound. But Caitlin always knew the deeper truth. Johnny was her dog. Johnny was a member of their family. And she loved Johnny. Naomi is a Jew. As we parse the story of Ruth, we need to remember the players and the location. Naomi is a Jew, a faithful one. Ruth is a Moabite. She's not a Jew. She's a foreigner. They are in a foreign land in Moab, in the desert. They're heading to Jerusalem, a Jewish city. That's important to remember. But Ruth loves Naomi no matter who she is, no matter that she's a Jew and Naomi's and Ruth is not. Ruth will stand by Naomi's side no matter what. Ruth could stay home with her own relatives. That would be safer. Naomi is right. Naomi is absolutely right. Stay with your own people. They'll take care of you. You will find a husband in your own traditions there. Do not travel with me. You've loved me well. Thank you. Now go in peace. Orpah, which means back of the neck. Orpah says, okay, Naomi, I will go back to my people. I love you. They cry. And then Naomi shows Ruth, Orpah. Orpah shows Naomi the back of her neck as she's leaving. But Ruth won't leave. Ruth is steadfast. It may be dangerous to travel through that wilderness. Both women may not survive. Ruth knows this. But Ruth is going to go anyway. We can tell nothing's going to stand in Ruth's way. If they make it to Naomi's hometown, we need to know this as readers. No matter how faithful and good Ruth is, Ruth may not be received. She may not be respected. She may not be welcomed. She may not have a place in Bethlehem with Naomi. But Ruth is willing to go anyway. She's going to risk this no matter what. Despite the differences between these two women, differences of age, nationality, religion, culture, despite the danger of this journey, despite the possibility that Ruth may be rejected by Naomi's people, Ruth remains committed to this friendship, remains committed to her mother-in-law. Just as Caitlin is going to love Johnny no matter what. Love does that. Love defies the odds. Paul would say love hopes all things, believes all things, trusts all things. Love never dies. Actually, Andrew Lloyd Webber said love never dies. That was on the West End in London for many years. I don't think it made it to New York City, did it? Love never dies? Did it? Okay, if you say so. I could sing the first few lines of that. It's really a great show. Every year at this time, we as a church, I suppose ever since 1850, we've been pausing at some time during the year. Typically, it's during the season as we get ready for harvest. We pause for a moment to ask, let's build a budget for next year. Let's collect pledges for the coming year. Let's bring in the harvest. And that pledge card is a small way of telling God and each other that we're committed to do the work of the church. Against all odds, we're committed to do the work of the church. And this season celebrating our commitment to God and God's church reminds us most significantly of God's unwavering commitment to us. God is the Ruth character in this endeavor. God is the one, like Ruth, who says, I will stand by you even though you can do more. God is the one who stands by us even though our commitment wavers, even though our trust is not complete. God is the one who says, come hell or high water, I'm standing next to you, and you can count on it. Whether you believe it now or not, I am with you. God is the Ruth here. So this season celebrating our commitment is actually a season celebrating God's commitment to us. We love God, after all, only because God first loved us. That's why we know what love is, because we've experienced it from God. And so being a Christian is our attempt, it's our experiment, it's our credo to live this love, to fail and to try again and again. And that love from God, by the way, our love will falter, but God's does not. God's love is from everlasting to everlasting. So we pause to thank God that even if and when our commitment falters or fails, God's commitment to us will not. God keeps God's promises. Amen? Amen. We get the impression, of course, that Ruth is going to keep her promises too. She's not God. She's a human being. She could be eaten by a wolf in that desert. She could lose heart. That's part of the tension of this story. Ruth could be just talking a big talk. We don't know until we read on. But Ruth seems to be saying here, I don't care if this journey is dangerous. I don't care if my decision to stay with you doesn't make sense. I'm committed to you, Naomi. I will be your companion, your relative, your friend, your sister. You can count on it. For all the saints, I stand with them, behind you and with you. In a day when people seem to be committed to lesser and fewer things and lower ideals, it's inspiring to me to bear witness to Ruth's promise to Naomi. God will use this committed friendship to bless the whole wide world. You've read the story. You know the story. Naomi and Ruth, they will make it across that desert to Bethlehem. They'll arrive safely. They will experience hunger and they will find meager housing. But Naomi will help her daughter meet Boaz. And Boaz will make promises that we don't know if he's just a leery old man taking advantage of a young woman or not. We don't know that until we read on. Boaz will make promises that he keeps. And this brave foreigner named Ruth will provide for Naomi. Boaz and Ruth will have a child named Obed. Obed will have a child named Jesse. Jesse will have a child named David. And this, from this stump springs the family tree that leads to Jesus. So this friendship here, this friendship between Naomi and Ruth is going to bless the whole wide world. Any of you who believes that your contribution is too small, how wrong you are, friends. Our small things do add up, and we don't know how our small things will matter in the end, as we do when we can read the rest of this story in Ruth. In our lives and ministry in and beyond this historic, beautiful church, may we be as bold, as loving, as foolishly brave as Ruth, standing by her friend Naomi. Where you go, except Ruth didn't say it like that, I'm sure. Where you go, where you lodge, your people, and your God, where you die, and there will I be buried. We've just said that to one another. God will bless that. Alleluia. Holy God, help us to be the people you call us to be, stepping out in faith and with great love. For we ask it in the name of Jesus the Christ. The people of God together say, Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.